Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Juvo Hub podcast, episode 44. We are looking forward to having an amazing conversation with another industry veteran, Virginia Love from Entrada. We'll introduce her in just a second and get into a conversation about sustainability, longevity in our industry, and hear her story of all the things that she's seen over the years. But let's introduce our co-host, Mark Howell from Howell Creative Concepts. How are you, my friend?
I am great. Thank you. Yes, I am Mark Howell. So good to be here. Thanks for having me back, Jonathan. And I am very excited about this guest. Anybody that doesn't know you, Virginia, has to be new to the business. I mean, I'll tell you, you are like a celebrity, truly. And so I am so excited to dig into this really great conversation with you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank y'all for asking me. What an honor.
Yeah. So you're an industry principal at Entrada, and I share the same sentiments as Mark. It's, I think, Virginia, either directly or indirectly, I came across you being in Atlanta from the Atlanta Apartment Association many, many years ago, and a true inspiration to our industry. So I'm going to turn it over to Mark. Let's hear your story. Looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah. Well, look, Virginia, I think what I'm going to do is ask you to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit, and then I will ask you some of my first questions. But introduce yourself to our listeners if anybody out there doesn't know who you are already.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm Virginia Love. As the gentleman both said, I am the industry principal with Entrada. I joined Entrada in June of 2019 after 28 years as an operator, starting off as a part-time lease consultant with Trammell Crow, which I find everybody, about half the industry started off as a lease consultant with Trammell Crow. I have the pleasure of working with not only the best and the brightest in the industry within Entrada, but also our clients, potential clients, customers, and others in the industry. My job is to be a resource, not just for our group and our clients, but to offer us as a service and Entrada as a company and a culture to continue to influence the industry. We have a passion for the sites and for operations. And we know that what we offer is going to make their jobs a lot simpler. We offer not just technology, which, you know, is everywhere, which you can find everywhere, but the way that it is built with the thoughtfulness and with the attention to detail and how we involve our clients in our business, it is truly inspiring. And it was a dream come true for me to be part of the team after being a client for 8.5 years. So it's been a great switch. It's a big switch after you've been out on the operations team, right? I laugh all the time. It's like, in this business, either you're the one, someone's taking you to lunch or you're the one taking somebody to lunch. So I went from being taken to lunch to being the one taking people to lunch. And that's great. I've loved every minute of it.
I love that. I love your segue into that, that you have been, how long have you been in this business? So you, is it been 28 years, you said?
It's 30 years this month.
Now, 30 years.
Yeah, and the only reason why I know that is because, you know, when you go to the bank in Atlanta at Wells Fargo, wherever, it tells you, thank you, you've been a customer for X.
Oh, yes.
So I moved to Atlanta and I was not in the industry for about 1.5 years. So that's the only way I can keep that tick. I just hit 30 years.
I love it. Well, listen, I am so in awe of you with everything that you've done. And Virginia, the truth of the matter is that you haven't just done these things. You've done these things with complete excellence and professionalism. I have to tell you, like anybody listening that does not know this woman, you please listen to her advice about longevity in our industry and where you can go and the things that you can accomplish. But my first question for you is, you know, tell me a little bit about where you started, because truly when I look at you, you seem like this movie star. Like I look at
I think this is
a celebrity, and it's like you were just born into that role.
But I'm a has-been, and I'm happy about it. Well, no, I think, you know, I don't, did either one of y'all intend on getting into property management? I mean, it wasn't my intention. I didn't even know it was a thing. When I was in college in the 80s, when you needed an apartment, you found it in a newspaper, you called the guy, they met you, you barely looked at it, they gave you the key and you went on. So I graduated from the University of Southern Mississippi in 1989. I took a little time off. I went to Atlanta to visit a friend of mine, whose name is Greg Toomey, also in the industry, one of my best friends that y'all both know, who lives in Atlanta. He was living in outside Atlanta with his aunt and uncle. He had just moved there after college and was working in retail. I went for a long weekend, never came home. We came home, we got my stuff, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to move to Atlanta. I'll figure it out when I get there. And so I went to work in retail. He worked for the Gap, and I worked for Williams-Sonoma. And come to find out, I was really good at sales, you know. So, at you know, they would have contests. If whoever sold the most Cuisinart won a Cuisinart. Well, I got that. Whoever sold the most bread machines won a bread machine. I got that. I like to think that I was the one that did the in-store demos, you know, it slices, it dices, because that was my idea. I was like, I'm going to take a bag of carrots. Why do we talk about this Cuisinart when we could show them the Cuisinart? And so one of my clients was one of the senior executives of Trammell Crow. His wife, Leonard Woods' wife, came in and bought everything. She was a great customer. And she said to me one day that, you know, you need to get in property management. You need to work for my husband. Mm-hmm. Well, on the other side, Greg Toomey and I finally found an apartment in Norcross, Georgia, off Jimmy Carter. And we went on the tour, and it was so strange. We were like, this is weird. You know, you're in a golf cart, eating a cookie, you know, going around, looking at apartments. I was like, this is the weirdest business. And we didn't know anything about it. And the manager is, I can't remember his last name. His name was Dan. And it was not the perfect tour. It was not. And we leased, and it was far from perfect. And we just connected with him, with the manager. And he's like, look, things aren't going to be perfect all the time. That's who we are, but we're going to fix it if it's broken. I mean, we just connected with him.
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks or months later, Greg interviewed with Trammell Crow. And then I followed suit right behind him and joined the industry. And we were both there for, I want to say, at least 3 years. And then we kind of followed each other at a couple of other companies, but it was not my intention to get into to property management. Right. So, but because like I said before, I didn't even know it was an industry. So I always feel really lucky that I stumbled across it as a position. And the reason why I liked it then and the reason why I like it now is it's never the same day twice. Yeah. Never. No matter what the job, no matter which job you do, with the exception of maybe a couple of corporate like things that are specific, like accounting or like IT or something. Man, if you're in operations, get ready. It's never the same thing. Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about, so when I think about maybe your past and you know going into leasing, and then I know you're a marketing guru. So where did your path switch? At some point, I always say this to people that I'm getting into the industry or that I'm working with that are new. And I'll say, look, I'm going to check back with you in a couple months because you'll either be here or you won't. Like there's this moment where I always say it's 6 months, it's 3 to 6 months. You will either, you know, you're committed or you've already left right before I
can. You're trying to get out as fast as possible.
When did you know that this was for you and why? Like, obviously I sense that maybe you're a little competitive, but you wanted that Cuisinart, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
very competitive.
But was it the competitiveness in you or the love of people, the excitement, like what made you commit? And then where did your career change? Where did you go next?
That's a great question. I'm a big proponent of knowing that wherever you are is where you are, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't have to stay there. But this is where I landed. And I thought for a while, I liked the leasing part. I loved the marketing part. I even liked the silly stuff like follow up and mini models. I loved all that stuff. And I thought, well, if this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the best one that I can be at it. And once they started telling you stuff about, if you get a shopping report, you're going to get $150. I'm like, done. I'm going to get $100. And I did. And if whoever gets the most leases this month is going to get XYZ, get out of my way. I'm very competitive. I don't really care about what the prize is. I just want to be recognized and, you know, seen as, you know, someone who I'm a big fan of doing what people expect me to do. And I'll talk more about that letter about saying yes. I'm a big fan of saying yes to things, even if it's something that I'm not interested or even comfortable doing. But it wasn't so much a conscious decision, but I knew I wanted more of the industry. So that's the other thing that I loved about it. It's like you can start here, and then there's so many, not only can you move laterally and up, you can move straight up. I mean, you can completely change interest and, you know, you can say, I love the math. So let me get into finance or acquisitions or accounting, you know, or, you know, I love the idea of building properties. I mean, gosh, back in the day, everybody that built a property was male in the industry. Now we have female builders,
right?
You know, so there was really so many different directions I could go in. And I thought, okay, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it well. And I got asked, and I can remember the day it happened. I have a real weird memory. I remember very specific details. And I remember the day someone asked me if I would get involved with the local apartment association. Mm-hmm. And they wanted me to be on the membership committee. And y'all both know that that is kind of where you, you know, sort of, you know, cut your teeth, right? Like, if you can handle membership, and they're going to let you in on other stuff, right? So I got involved with the local association in Atlanta, and that led to state level, national level, the apartment association. That led to being asked to be on, you know, advisory boards or panels and leadership councils and a lot of speaking engagements. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I want to, for myself over anybody else, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it 100%. Not all the time do I do it 100%. Don't think that, because that's not the truth. But I knew that I was going to get as much out of it as I gave it.
Right.
Right. And that by being involved in it as an industry, and, you know, we're lucky that we're in Atlanta and we have such an outstanding history of the Atlanta Association and as many chair people that we have had that have been NAA chair people. That has been ridiculous. I mean, we are in heart of the apartment industry. And I took that opportunity and, you know, luckily, everything I know to this day mostly revolves around leasing apartments, you know, within the industry. And I don't know if I would have felt as passionately about being in the industry as long as I have had I not gotten involved in those associations. That was the springboard for me to kind of make a name for myself, to be honest with you. I did a lot of stuff for free. I still do a lot of stuff for free, you know, because it keeps me sharp and it keeps me relevant. And I know that, again, I want to give back to it as much as it gave to me. But at the beginning, it really felt like a lot like, okay, you can sit back and just call it a job, get a paycheck, go home, or there's all these different ways to get involved. There's all these different people, you know, no matter what part of the business you want to be in, you can do it. And that's kind of how I did it. And I don't think at the time I thought I had a strategy, but when I look back on it, I definitely had a strategy. When I look back on things, like, I keep a lot of copious notes about things I've done in my career. I'm like, no, I set out to do that. And that's a great feeling.
Yeah. I love that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome. What I took away from all that, Virginia, is, and I, you know, Mark and I have talked about this. We've had other guests on the show. For all the new people coming into our industry, you know, even ones who have been able to graduate with property management degrees here in Atlanta from, you know, Georgia Tech or UGA, and it's still, there's just so much to the industry. And I love how you articulated that even with just starting out in leasing, that you just have to keep your mind and your field of vision open to all of the opportunities that are out there, because it's so not just about that position that you're filling at that time, right?
Well, and, you know, one of the things that really, that bothers me about the industry, and I'll say this, that I think the highlight of the last 19 months of our life has been, as an industry, and we feel this very passionately at Entrata, is that the attention it put on the site teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're essential workers, right? They always were. We never said that. But the idea that we all got to do work from our, you know, kitchen tables and our pajamas, and they had to go out on site. They had to, you know, retrieve packages, help residents, get leases packets together, figure out how to show an apartment without extra touching, talking, looking, or being near somebody in a mask. I mean, the gravity of the responsibility that they have on site. And I tell everyone, I did a session last Wednesday in Atlanta before the trade show with Leah Smith from Satisfax. He's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And every session I ever teach, I always take the opportunity to walk around the room before it starts to say, hey, you know, introduce myself. What do you do? What do you do? And ask people what they do. And I cannot tell you how many times people say, oh, I'm just a leasing consultant. I'm just an assistant manager. I'm just a property manager. I'm like, listen, and this is in my, it's usually one of my first three slides is you're responsible for the sales, marketing, leasing, service, whatever of a X amount of dollar asset. Nine times out of 10, they don't know how much their asset is worth.
No.
And if you don't know how much your asset is worth, you don't know the volume of business that you are creating for your company. And subsequently, probably a fund. Maybe it's a, you know, Ohio's teacher's retirement fund. Maybe you work, maybe JP Morgan owns your property and your, you know, your daily business is making money for all of their investors. They don't understand this live game of Monopoly that we're playing as an industry. Mm-hmm. And I actually asked somebody that question last Wednesday in Atlanta when I asked anybody know how much their property is valued. Somebody raised their hand and said about probably like $3 million. It was 245 units, $3 million. I'm like, yeah, try about $60 million, you know, depending on where it is and what the market is. But they don't, they, you know, have a tendency to look at the job as I'm just a lease consultant. I'm just an assistant manager. I'm just a property manager, service manager, tech. Those are the only people in our industry are generating income. That's everybody right. else is an expense, right? So without that person coming in, being able to easily, whether I say all the time, you know, you got to make it easy to lease an apartment, whether you're the person leasing it, or you're the person, you know, doing the leasing. You know, it's got to be easy for the team member and for the customer to, you know, get to the get quick, right? And get everything done and signed up so they can move forward, move in, and start paying rent. That's when we all make money. Everybody, absolutely. Every supplier, we don't make anything until somebody moves in. So it's true. I think a lot of times we've sold those site teams short unintentionally. But I think that that's been the power of the last 19 months is it's made us all realize, you know what, this is the most important position we have.
Wow. It is. It's very profound to say that because it's so true, you know, and I, as somebody recently said that to me and they said something like, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just the leasing consultant. And I said, don't ever apologize for the position that
good
you have.
You.
And I said, and in fact, just take that out of your vocabulary because what you do for the organization is so powerful. And I was like, It broke my heart and blew my mind at the same time.
Yeah, me too.
But do you find, when I listen to you talk and I think about your career, I think passion, you know, there's just been so much passion. And I have talked, Jonathan, we had another guest where I said, find your passion, you know, like we probably should have had this conversation with Virginia. I always tell people every day, like every day you wake up, you should find some passion in something, right? Because if not, then what's the point? So why are you so passionate about what you do? What drives that in you? Because I see it. I see it in you. I hear it in you. Why do you think you've stayed so passionate for 30 years in this industry? What is it that is driving you?
Well, I got to first say that I've not been passionate about the job every day, all the time. Right. I think that's a fair thing to people think. I think today in all this sort of like mental health space, everybody feels like, oh my God, they love every minute of every day. There were plenty of days that I thought that I would like to either. I've never wanted to jump out the window myself. I thought about pushing other people out of window.
Yes.
You know? And there were days I hated the job, no matter what the job was. It just wasn't a good day. It just things weren't sync. So give yourself a break. You don't have to love it all the time. But to your point, you have to find a reason to get up in the morning and go do it. I think what's overwhelming is that everything that we do in the industry hinges off the fact that someone who's going out on site, who's making, you know, $17, $18 an hour, I'm not even quite sure what the national average is, that we put a lot of responsibility on them. Mm-hmm. And then we keep continuing to put responsibility on them and throwing new systems at them and change management and new things they got to do and new steps. And typically somebody in some big fancy office is making that decision. And they don't understand what is happening on that site level. So I say that only for the very reason that not all the jobs are always glamorous all the time. So I think that's a fair way to look at it. The thing that has kept me so passionate about the industry is the fact that it's not the same thing twice. We've already talked about that. Love that. One of the other things is just the people that I've met. I mean, some of the closest friends I have in my life, not just industry friends, just in my life. Like when I went to work for Trammell Crow Residential Services, I interviewed with Michael McGuire. To this day, my mentor, he was the one that interviewed me. I came in and we had a nice little exchange about a pen that he wanted me to sell him. And I said, like, you know, this pen. And he's like, yeah, sell me that pen. See if you can sell me an apartment, selling a pen. And I was like, I don't want to sell you that pen. And he was like, oh, you don't think you can sell that pen? I was like, no, I want to sell you a better pen. Don't you have a better pen in your drawer? He's like, by the way, you're hired. And that was it, right? But him, I have not have yet to make a career decision without leaning on the man. Other people that I have met, I had a good friend that I always think about that I worked with, Julie Reed, who's at Mill Creek now, that used to say, never speak in absolutes. And it was something that I consciously did and thought, oh my gosh, that'll never work. We'll never get there. They'll never agree to that. I'll never get that budgeted. No one will ever sign that contract. And she was like, don't speak in absolutes. And I didn't realize how I was doing that, not only in work, but in my everyday language, when I had my, you know, my own narrative as I was speaking in absolutes. So that was a big game changer for me. Two other people that I can think of in my career that really changed it for me, Greg Lozenak. He was somebody that I encountered at the point where I was thinking about leaving the industry. And you know how, you know, the universe just puts people in your path when you need them.
Yeah.
He was one that I needed. He's ex-military. He's still, again, one of my closest friends, biggest mentors. He's a client of Entrada, which is fun. His sister works for Entrada, which is a really fun thing. And he was ex-military to the point where I feel like I served time as an Army Ranger. I feel like his stories are my stories, you know? And he taught me, has taught me so much about what your capabilities are. Like, he's like, why are you want to do that? Well, because we need to get involved in, you know, pay-per-click and pay, you know, SEO and stuff. And he goes, well, can we hire somebody? Why are you doing that? That's not your, this is your path. I need you focused on, this is your strength. You're great at sales and marketing, getting the teams motivated, figuring out the marketing spend, you know, aligning us with the best sources and the best channels, blah, 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 blah. Let somebody else do that. Or I've got that personality of, I want to take it all on my own, right? And next thing you know, you've got, you know, 4,000 responsibilities. You're doing all of them, you know, halfway. So he was great at getting me to look at things that way. I look at, you know, Chase Harrington, who I work for now, I have the pleasure of not only calling my boss, but my friend at Entrada, who just has a compassion as a leader that you just don't see that very often. And it just is sort of unshaken when things, like I think about the last, you know, COVID in 2020, how he led us as a group through that just, you know, murky unknown. It was really inspiring and I felt it. Everybody at Entrada felt it. And then we had clients and even non-clients that were like, oh my gosh, you know, we want what you have. We're drinking the Kool-Aid. We feel that, you know, that y'all have given yourselves as a resource. But, you know, one of the smartest things I ever did, besides get involved in the apartment associations and stuff like that, which I think is extremely important. And I don't think people look at it like maybe Mark and you and I have done, because you've been right there with me all these years. I've sat in on countless ones of your sessions that you've done, no matter which side of the table you're on too.
Yeah.
And loved every minute of it. But I found myself a little group of friends years ago. We call ourselves the Pancake Club because we like breakfast foods.
I love it.
It is four other people. It's Jennifer Stachokas from Western Wealth, Israel from Gray Star, Sarah from Beacon, and Josh McDonald, who was an operator, now he works for CBRE. And that is my tribe. And when I need to make a decision and I need to bend somebody's ear and complain, or they're the first ones to lift me up, they're the first ones to tell me if I make a mistake, or we have a pact. I'm like, if I ever act like that on social media, I'm counting on you people to humble me or whatever. And I think that while the industry has given me a lot of passion, it's been the people that I've surrounded myself with that have made me really see the value of it. I mean, I think about things in Atlanta. You might remember Catherine D. Smart. Do you remember Catherine?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and she recently passed away. But I remember the day that we were at the food bank with the food drive. She needed an important organ transplant. and she was carrying around a pager at the time. This is way back in pager day. And I remember we were all there at the food bank and her pager was going off in the car and she didn't have it on her. And we were all there with her when she got the phone call to go to Piedmont Hospital and have this surgery. When does that happen? You know, that doesn't happen. I remember being with Kelly Marchbanks from RAM when she found out her second baby was a girl. I was there with her and her husband and her daughter. So I know other people in other industries have these experiences. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying this is bigger than, you know, the few. It's about the whole. And I cherish the fact that as an industry, we are overwhelmingly for each other, you know? So, and that makes a huge difference. We're competitors in the marketplace, but when we all go to something together, you don't know, you know, where one starts and the other ends.
That's true.
Years ago, when I was chairperson of the Atlanta Apartment Association in 2011, my friend Angie Pusateri was my counterpart for a long time at a previous position. And her dad, Tony, who has since passed away, was a big apartment guy from Texas. You know, that's where, it's like the birthplace. And he came to Atlanta and we were having a dinner meeting and he wanted to go. And he said, and I, you know, called the apartment association, said, can you get a ticket for Tony Pusateri? They're like, absolutely, you know, whatever he wants. And he showed up and he's like, this is the craziest thing. This is a man who had been to hundreds of these events. And he's like, I don't know who's who, which ones are the operators and which ones are the suppliers. And he's like, I've never seen it like this.
Yeah.
And I think that was something very specific we've had in Atlanta, but it's certainly, I've seen it in other markets and I see it on a national level, but that's what's interest and learning keeps me passionate, making sure I can revamp what it is I'm doing and what I'm thinking and what I'm saying and how I'm presenting myself. And I'm only as good as the ones I surround myself with.
That's very good advice. Very great advice, actually. Yeah. I mean,
Greg Toomey's grandmother would say, if you show me your friends, I show you you. So be careful.
Oh, that's good. You surround yourself with. That is so good. And you know what? I mean, it's valuable advice because I consider myself fortunate that my very first, what I call great step in this industry was with Worthing. I was with a company before Worthing, but only for a little while. But I call that sort of time that I spent at Worthing I put on my professional self, right? But it was about the people that I surrounded myself with. It was about the attitude that you were just talking about. Every day I woke up and I said, I get to work for an organization that demands excellence. And so why wouldn't I want to be the best
That's
at what
great.
I am in any of these roles? But because I had that passion and I think the gift of gab, that certainly helps.
Absolutely.
I made some really great friends that I can still call my best friends and family today. And so that's great advice, that find your tribe, find people that support you, that help build you up, that give you the tools to want you to move forward, because there are many people in every industry that will want to see you fail.
That's right.
And probably don't want to necessarily be that positive force. And so I have a question, and this might be way off script, but I find it so fascinating. Like when you were talking, I was thinking back through my past and all that passion and all that fun. And I used to love being out on site. Like we had much fun out on site. And it feels like somewhere in these last maybe 10 years or so, there's been this really weird shift and it doesn't feel as fun anymore.
The responsibility is heavy. I will say that. And I will say that I heard at the beginning of COVID, I will say, which just as a time reference, and I had been at Entrada for under a year and we had all these plans for the year. And then of course, like everybody else, everything, you know, shut down. We're all sitting at home trying to figure out how to move forward. The clients that I worked with that picked up the phone, called me or reached out and said, we got to figure out a way to do it so our site teams are taken care of. We have to, you know, how are we going to do this? They knew the job was already a lot. They knew the job was already heavy on them and that this was just going to make it heavier. I think as an industry, if I had any like sort of advice before, you know, whether it's the local association or a national thing, it's like, we need to invest in, you know, not only recruitment and getting new people interested in the industry, because I think it's one of those best kept secret situations where like I didn't know anything about it, y'all didn't know anything about it. But the amount of money that we generate and the amount of taxes that we pay and the fact that, you know, this is housing, this is not the people, this is where people bring their babies home after the hospitals, where they celebrate the holidays with their families. It's where they come home after they get married. This is their home. It's not just an apartment. And I think that whole thing as an industry kind of gets a bad rap. And I give mad kudos to those companies that have entered the space on a, you know, like on a really big grand national level, and have spent millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars advertising being a renter on HGTV during the Super Bowl and all of these things. I think, you know, a lot of times people will give them a bad rap and I'm like, are you kidding me? They make it better for everybody. They make renting good for everyone. I would love to see the same sort of thing for those site level associates, in that we, people make decisions. That's what we learned at what I learned at Entrada at the beginning of all this, is that the companies that were making decisions based on their site folks, they weren't going, well, you know, and we've all been there. We've all done a million surveys that say residents don't like XYZ. And we all sit around the conference table and go, I don't think that's what they mean when they said they don't like it. Yeah, well, yeah, it is. You know, but they'd listen to the data. They would listen to the feedback from their teams and go, you know what? We're selling a magic bag of beans over here. We think we know what's going on. We think we know the customer journey. We think we have the best solutions. We think that we're doing everything we can to make it easy to lease an apartment, whatever it is. And when in fact, last year just exposed all of those frictions, right? If you did not have it and people were short-tempered, and I don't know if y'all are seeing this now, it's something that is pretty cuckoo. Especially we see it a lot in Atlanta, but I noticed it on some of those, you know, some of those industry Facebook pages and stuff like that, is that there's a lot of tension on site.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I think we've got to make sure that we're keeping them, you know, not only happy and satisfied and passionate and trained and supported, but, you know, we have a responsibility, a duty of care to those associates to make sure, you know, they have what they need and can make the decisions that they, you know, that they need to make. And I don't think that needs to rest on one company. I think that's something that we as an industry need to establish and, you know, disseminate amongst and see how, and elevate the entire industry, you know, and not just worry about our individual companies. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's been a rough year. It's been a rough year. And I think that, so much of what I personally learned in the past 19 months has to do with, I don't know if I would have, I love being on site. Like you, Mark, loved it to this day. But when I left Waterton, that was my last thing I did at Waterton, was go down to Miami to visit property. And I was leaving the company in 3 days. They're like, you don't have to go. I'm like, but I want to go. I love being out on site and seeing what all we were doing live, you know?
Right.
And, but I, you know, I don't know if I would have been strong enough to handle this job in the last 19 months.
Yeah.
I don't know. So not to bring it down, but.
No, I think, Virginia, you highlight so many things that really have just a lot of parallels to the conversation around longevity, because we're not just talking necessarily about our individual careers. We're talking about the industry as a whole, longevity of the industry. And we have all these young people who are on site or coming out of college, coming into leadership positions. What are they doing as we come, you know, next few years, 10, 15, 20 years or so from now, as we start to exit, what are they coming into and how are they going to continue to make it that longevity?
Yeah, that's it, man.
Watch them forward, right?
Yeah.
So there's just so much work that's there that you've highlighted. And at the same time, some of just the basic fundamentals, it doesn't matter who we are, that we can't do this on our own. We have to rely on each other. I love the Pancake Club stories when you post them on social. I think there's just the most endearing, wonderful thing. It just warms my heart. And it shows to all of us what we appreciate about the industry.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How we have always been there to help each other in our careers. And that's the fabric that is.
And that, you know, in that group and all the other people that I mentioned, you know, certainly lead themselves beyond our professional, you know, there's a whole math about how much time you spend at work instead of, you know, and then spending at home. And then if you are in an industry like a lot of us are, that we're traveling and we're trying to, you know, I remember one time, I think Jennifer and I were in the same town, and we're like, oh my God, we're in the same town. Oh my God, we're so excited. We're in Dallas, and it's like a Tuesday night. We're at a, you know, some random hotel, you know, Marriott lobby, just having the best time of our lives. We're so glad to have somebody else on the road with us, you know, because you're traveling by yourself. But yeah, that, I think, you know, to your point, I look at, we have to have a long range plan as an industry. We talk about this in Atlanta all the time with the Atlanta Apartment Association. We've been talking about having a succession plan forever about, okay, how do we leave it? Because it's really changed, right? Like back in the day, it was all these individual owners, all these people that had family businesses, like you know, TriCap was Julian LaCroix at one point. I mean, like all these people are cycling out, and they're having more larger institutional-based companies, great companies, but we're getting where the individual small owner is no longer like the norm, like it used to be. And I look at some of the things that are going on as an industry, and we have a fair amount of student clients at Entrada. You want to see what's going to happen in the industry? Watch the student properties.
Yeah.
Because they move fast. They don't let grass grow. They didn't miss a minute with the pandemic. Not a minute. They didn't say, well, I don't know. Should we do self-guided tours? What's the liability? How are we going to do it? What can we do this? We can't do that. Well, if we can't have that on the app, we don't want to do it at all. They're like, forget it. What time is it? This is day two. We've been in this 12 hours. Get out of the way. I mean, they move, and our succession plan should be looking at that as a model and looking at their residents as a model, because their residents are the ones moving into conventional.
That's right.
They're going to graduate from college, and their demands are different than the demands that largely we have been building for, you know, as an industry. So I would love to be involved in something that really helped elevate the site teams and their, you know, and give them more, even more, you know, let folks see what they do and their importance. And again, I think the past 19 months has really helped us with that, but I think as an industry, there's just so much to learn, and so many different ways that we can improve upon those experiences for them.
Yeah. Well, I have absolutely loved our conversation. I tell you, you know, in my mind, I had all these things that I was hopeful that I would get from you, you know, like advice, you know, where were the key indicators of success? And you nailed them all. If anybody is listening to what we were talking about, they heard all of your great advice. So thank you so much for taking time out of your extremely busy Hollywood life participating with us.
I went to bed last night at 7:45. It's high glamour over here all the time. I will say though, I had two pieces of advice I wanted to make sure that I shared, and I don't think I shared them, but I think they're worth hearing, is that I did say I said yes a lot. I'm going to tell you, when I took the job at Entrada with Chase, and I tell everybody that, like, you know, if somebody asks, we have a whole new group of C-suite folks in Entrada that have been fantastic getting to know the industry. They're like, so what do you do? The first thing I'll tell them all the time is I say yes a lot. What do you want me to do? Dress up as Brian May from Queen and pretend like I'm playing a guitar? I'm your girl. You know, you want me to speak at FAA or do this? Sign me up. I'll do whatever. I'm so happy to do it. It's beyond that. I had that mentality before, and saying yes a lot, you know, yes, it will get you in some trouble because now all of a sudden you've sort of overcommitted yourself, but a big fan of that. But also it just gives you exposure, right? Yeah. And I remember Tracy Bowers, who we all know, she said, you know, I did the same thing. I took jobs on the site level to properties that you would not have driven by, or companies. I took jobs at companies that I had never even heard of. Like, I'd have a recruiter call me and go, sounds great. And I'd look at their stuff and I'd be like, oh my God, it's a mess. Look at their website and all this stuff. I'm thinking, I'm going to take that position because I'm going to get somewhere a lot faster. I can make a lot of change quicker, get the low hanging fruit, make a name for myself. And just say to whatever, you know, whatever ask they want, that whatever they wanted me to do. And then the other piece of advice that I had that I wanted to make sure that I shared was that I took as many demos, as many meetings, as many lunches, as many cups of coffee, I don't even drink coffee, that people asked me to do. I think that's the difference too between a lot of the folks that are sort of like in where I am in my career and where maybe, you know, 20 years younger, 25 years younger in their career is like, listen, whatever you have right now around you, however you're doing business around you right now, is not going to be how you're going to do business forever. And I wanted to be the one at the conference table when somebody goes, oh, hey, I just heard about this company. Anybody ever seen that? I would be, oh, yeah, absolutely. I took a demo with them. Let me tell you what they did. Whether I was going to use it or not, whether I had it budgeted or not, but I'm like, just take the meeting, you know, listen to the demo, get to know somebody. You just never, ever know. And that put me in a better position than because I didn't always do that. When I would say no, I would feel myself when other people were talking about something and I'd be like, I don't even know what they're talking about. The guy called me, but I never called him back, you know? So that was going to be my last two pieces of advice that I wanted to make sure that I shared with you.
Well, listen, I'm taking both of those pieces. Good. Because even for myself, I know that I would love to say yes more. And I think that by saying yes, it's funny, you said might get you into trouble, but look at the opportunities, the unknown. We're so programmed to say no and not to do things that we don't truly want to do. But by saying yes can open a world of opportunity. Talk about longevity, just putting yes into your vocabulary more. But I love the advice of take the meeting. Who cares if you know that you're not going to use it or you can't afford it or it's not in my wheelhouse? What a great way to educate yourself on someone and someone's product, but you never know, that person that's buying that cup of coffee for you might become one of your best friends, part of the Pancake
Club.
That is
it, man. They're going to walk in another meeting and somebody's going to say, oh my gosh, we're going to add a position. We need to promote somebody to this. We need to do that. They're going to say, I got somebody in mind.
Yes.
I mean, that is it. 100%.
Love it.
That's right.
Love it.
Well, thanks for guys for having me. This has been such an honor. Truly, I have nothing but mad respect and love for both of you, and love the fact that you have this podcast for the industry. There's not enough sources of information, and what you're doing is nothing short of just miraculous when we give people the ability to digest information that they want to hear and something that is going to give them not only, you know, some advice from folks, but also some, you know, having y'all out there supporting the industry like this is just, it's great. This is exactly what we need. We need more of it. So I really appreciate y'all asking me. Like I said before, it is nothing but an honor.
Well, we appreciate having you, Virginia. It's been an honor for you to be on our show. Can't wait till we can meet up again in person.
Yeah.
Hopefully
we'll have the Pancake Club on. Let me know.
There you go. Before you go, how can people connect with you?
Absolutely. Your website? The quickest way to get in touch with me is by email. My email address at Entrada is vlove, like in Virginia, VLOVE at Entrada.com. You can also hit me up under LinkedIn. It's under Virginia Love Atlanta on LinkedIn, but just send me an email at any time. I'd be more than happy to reach out. Again, my job is to be a resource for the industry. Whether you're an Entrada client or not, I love to connect with folks and have these conversations and meet people. I hope to see everybody at OpTech, at NMHC OpTech, which probably is the next big event that's coming up. And then hopefully, knock on wood, this time next year, we'll be all mixed mingling and hugging necks and not wearing masks and all that stuff together again. Okay?
Absolutely.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Virginia. This has been episode 44, everyone, of the Juvo Hub podcast. And yes, we look forward to that time when we'll be together again in person. Until next time, everyone, take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.